There's a river flowing in my soul.
In session four of this knowledge exchange, Stephanie Jones, Mary Helen and Medina Yang, Anne-Marie Carroll, Carol Lee, and Jim Pellegrino helped us understand what the sciences of learning and development now make clear. Learning is not just the transfer of information. It is not just memory, cognition, or narrowly understood skill acquisition. Learning is deeply human. It involves emotion and attention, identity and meaning, culture and context, relationships and belonging, the body and the brain, the present moment, and the histories that young people bring with them, as well as their hopes for the future. Those conversations showed us what was possible. They helped us understand the human potential for deep learning, learning that is active, meaningful, culturally connected, socially supported, emotionally engaged, and capable of changing how young people understand themselves and the world. At the same time, our work on equity-centered thriving helps us name the larger aim. Thriving is not only individual success or academic performance. It includes optimal levels of well-being, groundedness, agency, belonging, meaning, contribution, and the capacity of individuals and people to live well with others in a more just and sustainable world. But it is not enough to know what deep learning makes possible. It is not enough to define what equity-centered thriving is. In both cases, the practical question remains, under what conditions can deeper learning and equity-centered thriving actually be realized? And what can you do right now to move that process forward? That is the focus of Session 5. Session 5 asks us about the conditions for learning and the conditions for thriving. What has to be present in classrooms, schools, youth programs, families, communities, and professional cultures for the sciences of learning and development to be enacted? What has to be present for the promise of equity-centered thriving to become something young people actually experience? What do we build? What do we notice? What do we stop doing? What do we measure? What kinds of relationships do we cultivate? What forms of challenge do we offer? Whose knowledge do we honor? How do we create schools and learning environments that do not merely deliver content, but develop human potential? Megan Bang, Zaretta Hammond, Stephanie McMahon, and Kimberly Shonet Reichel help us understand and answer those questions. Megan Bang begins by widening our sense of what the conditions for thriving include. Megan is a learning scientist, an Indigenous scholar, and a member of the Anishinaabe people. Her work reminds us that young people do not thrive as isolated individuals. They grow within relationships, with family and community, with land and water, with ancestors and future generations, and with the more than human world that makes life possible. For practitioners, Megan's work asks us to look again at the places where learning happens. Are students learning as though they are separate from the world, or are they learning how to be responsible participants in that world? Zaretta Hammond then brings us into the cognitive work of equity. Zaretta is the author of Culturally Responsive Teaching and the Brain and of Rebuilding Students' Learning Power. She helps us see that belonging is essential. Students need to belong to a community of learners. They need intellectual safety, productive struggle, cultural connection, feedback and coaching so that they can build genuine learning power. For practitioners, Zaretta's question is direct. Are we protecting students from challenge, or are we building the supports that help students grow through challenge? Stephanie McMahon takes up the challenge of moving research into practice without flattening it out. Stephanie leads the University of Queensland's Partner Schools program, a research practice partnership built on sustained inquiry with educators. Her work reminds us that the science of learning and development should not become a checklist handed to teachers. It should become a source of professional agency. Educators need time, trust, and partnership to connect research to their own students and their own contexts. Stephanie also gives us a language for something educators often feel but may not have named: the shared sense of connection in a classroom or a learning community. That vibe, what she calls social synchrony, and how it can be deliberately cultivated. Kimberly Schoenig-Reichel brings us to social-emotional learning, well-being, peer ecology, and measurement. Kim's work shows that SEL is not an add-on to academics. It is part of how learning happens. The way a teacher greets a student, the way peers treat each other, the way students experience agency, the way adults notice children. These are not small things. They are developmental conditions. And through the middle years development instrument, the MDI, Kim shows how students and communities can make students' well-being and connectedness visible, not to rank or punish, but to support continuous improvement and collective action. Across these conversations, you will hear several ideas return. First, the conditions for learning and the conditions for thriving are deeply connected. Relationships, culture, safety, challenge, voice, place, and measurement all shape what and how young people learn and whether they can thrive. Second, thriving is relational. It is not something we can locate inside a child. It is shaped by the classroom, the peer group, the adults, the community, the land, and the systems that surround young people. Third, equity requires more than access. It requires cognitive justice, cultural and epistemic respect, and the opportunity for every young person to become a powerful learner. Fourth, educators need the same kinds of conditions that students need: trust, time, challenge, feedback, community, and the chance to learn by doing, taking risks, and reflecting. And finally, the work is practical. It can begin with greeting by name. It can begin with asking students what helps them learn. It can begin with going outside and learning from the place where the school sits. It can begin with examining whether students have important adults at school. It can begin with redesigning professional learning so teachers are not passive recipients of strategies, but active makers of knowledge. The promise of the sciences of learning and development is not that they give us a single formula. They help us see what is possible. The work on equity-centered thriving helps us see what we're aiming toward. Session 5 of this podcast series asks what conditions make both real: the conditions that enable the science to become practice and the practice to become a pathway for young people to learn deeply, thrive fully, and contribute to a more just and sustainable world.